John chapter 6, and we will start at verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And then verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Okay. So, first thing to notice is 666. John 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These are hard sayings, it says. These are hard sayings. But you know, they're not hard sayings. They're just hard if we don't understand his viewpoint. We read into it our mind and we see many things that it doesn't pertain to at all. What I want to talk about is communion, but I want us to realize that in John 6 here, Jesus is already promoting what we call the burnt Jerusalem before it ever happened. In other words, him dying on the cross. And he is declaring not Jesus of Nazareth that hasn't died and saying, I'm what it's about. He's talking about himself in his death. And he's talking about the bread that gives eternal life. And he's talking about oneness with himself. We never became one with Jesus of Nazareth. We came one with the crucified Christ. And he is the one that we're one with. He's the one of oneness. So, as Jesus, and if I get time, not tonight, but if I get time, through this first part, I would love to go back through John 6 and show you how this all came about. Because when they came at first, everybody wanted him because he just fed them bread. He fed the 5,000. And they all wanted him. Gee, I want you, Jesus. And when he gets through, many, many didn't walk with him ever again because it changed from being Jesus of Nazareth who gives bread to the crucified one who was bread and that we are supposed to take and put on the inside of us. So they are rebelling against what he's saying now. And why? Why? Why is that? They believed in him before, but why are they rebelling? Why is it different now? How has it changed so much in a short period of time from everybody blessed and loving what he's saying and doing to a whole bunch of people saying, I don't want to hear this. I don't agree with this. And it has to do with comprehending communion. True communion. So let's start in the Gospel of Mark, verse 14. And we'll look at verse 22 and 23. Mark chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Okay, the first part is to notice that Jesus, they are celebrating the Passover. Amen? This was a Jewish thing, and they were at the Passover. And Jesus breaks with tradition, and he takes bread, and he changes the complete direction of that feast. And he takes bread. And back then, they would usually eat of one loaf, particularly if it's one family. It would be one large loaf. And we'll see this in Corinthians, that it speaks of that. One loaf, and they would take it and break it, and everyone would take off from that. And Jesus took the bread. And it doesn't say that he I don't know, there's many ways you could say that, but it said he broke it. He broke that bread. And then he said, take, eat. Okay, well, the first step, Jesus took care of the breaking. But we have to take. But we have to know what we're taking. We have to understand what we're taking. We have to not just say, I am partaking of the body of Christ, when in reality, we may not really understand what we're doing. Break it. Take, eat. And then he says this, and he's talking about the bread, the broken bread. The broken bread, he says, this is my bread. Body. This is my body. Okay. Now, there's many ways of looking at that. If it was us, and it was and some of the things we know, and we're sitting there with Jesus, we would say, well, wait a minute. We are your body. We're your body. And everybody go, yeah. What are you doing that for? Right here's the real thing. That's just bread. We're the real body. But Jesus didn't turn and say, you are my body. He did say, you're my mother and my brothers and my sisters. But he didn't say, you're my body. He said, this broken bread is my body. Okay. So you do know that within a few hours, he's going to be hanging on a cross. Not days, a few hours. Okay, so he could have said, okay, I'm going to tell you something about my body. In a few hours, and he would say, now pay close attention, because in a few hours you're going to see this. My body is going to be broken. I'm going to be hung on a cross. And I want you to partake of that. Couldn't he? Couldn't he have said that? Then why did he take bread and break it and not point to the cross and not really even mention the cross, other than he'd said, you know, I've got to go to the cross, but that was different times, and not point to the disciples, which are the two places that we would point. We would point to the cross or the body here. But he took bread and he said, this is my body. He broke it and he said, take and put this on the inside of you. Okay. So, in Matthew, he takes that and he takes the cup. And when he takes the cup, he says, this is my blood in the New Testament. Okay, now I want you to follow this. In the New Testament, well, the way we got into the New Testament was through the cross. The cross had to happen before we're in the New Testament. Amen? I mean, there had to be a death. Okay. But he's talking already about the New Testament. And the bread he's talking about is New Testament body as he wants us to understand it. Not what saved us. Not just what saved us. And, you know, in all of the Gospels, they talk about communion. And in Corinthians, it talks about communion. But only in Matthew does it even mention sins. And in Corinthians, which is pretty long, it's in chapter 10 and 11, which hopefully we'll look at, it never mentions forgiveness of sins. It mentions a spirit or a nature or a way that we're supposed to be, which he terms as bread. Bread. Okay. So we're going to be looking at more scriptures so that you can see that. But let that sink down in your head, because Jesus, if Jesus pointed just to the cross at that time, they would only see it in light of his death for sins. But this bread isn't being broken for sins. It's the way that his body is. He's saying, this is the way my body is. Not this way, which is denying him and betraying him and running away and all of that. He's saying, this is my body. This is the way I am all the time. Even after resurrection, I am self-giving. I pour myself out. I lose that others may gain. I didn't just do it one time, because if you point to the cross, they're going to think one-time event. Jesus one time did this. And he's saying, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Why? Because you're showing forth my death. Not as death for sin. Not as death for... And yes, it includes sin. But that's not what he's referring to here, and that's not what the New Testament scriptures, the epistles that Paul talks about, it's not pointing to forgiveness of sins. It's pointing to his way in them, and they were not discerning what? The Lord's body. The Lord's body, not the Savior's body. Come on, think about it. The Lord's body, not just the Savior. That, yes, you say it's the same thing. Yes, it is, except for it's not the same, because Paul is not emphasizing the Savior and his body. He's emphasizing the New Testament body and what we're supposed to put into us that makes us his body. Okay. So Jesus is sitting here. The cross hasn't happened yet, but he knows what's going to happen to him, and he is going to give himself, and he's going to give himself freely, and he's going to give himself out of love, and God is love, And love gives, and God gives, and He gives, and He gives. We see Jesus in resurrection. We say, yes, Jesus in resurrection. And we say, well, you know, all glory to Jesus. But in Revelation, we're glorifying a slaughtered lamb, a self-giving slaughtered lamb that is still seen, still after the resurrection, is still seen as selfless to the core, to the fullness of His nature. Where else do we see Him in resurrection? We see Him in the book of Hebrews where it says, come boldly to the throne. And you know, basically get help. Okay, so here He's in resurrection, and yet He's doing all the helping. He's doing all the serving. He's doing all the blessing. We're coming and getting the blessings. And He's still sitting on a throne, but we're the ones that are the getting all the blessings. And He continues to serve. And we don't even think of, you know, this is the resurrected Lord. We go, well, He needs to take care of me. But He's self-giving. And He was, and He is, and He is to come. And this is His nature. This is His nature. Take. Eat this. This is my body. This is what my body is like. This is who my body is. It is bread that is regularly broken when you come together. Regularly. Ongoing basis. Put this bread. Not just the... See, let me say... I've probably got it written down here, but it's... Well, let me just say it. It's not saying, eat my crucified body. He's saying, eat my nature as self-giving and become my body. On a regular basis, on the way that you proceed, on how you think, okay... Now, if you took the time to go through the New Testament and read every time it says honor one another, or don't seek your own good, but that of others, or you would be amazed, because it's constantly selfless giving. It is, be my body. Let my nature and my true being of body, the way I would work, the way I worked in my physical body, let me work in this body, in brokenness. Show forth my death, my self-giving death, not my death for sin. My self-giving death, the way I always am. But if we just point to that event and not this bread, you'll say, okay, well, I'll do that once. You know, as if Jesus only did it once, but He is continually that way. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, remember, where are we going to now? New Testament. We're not changing over here. This is the way the New Testament body is. This is my blood in the New Testament. This is my body in the New Testament. Does that make sense? It's not emphasizing getting into the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's emphasizing the way that we are in the New Covenant. All right, so this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless... Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Okay, let's stop right there. The communion of the blood of Christ, the communion of the blood of Christ. Think of that. We don't commune in the blood of Christ unless we say the blood of Christ was shed so that I, for my sins, so I don't have to go to hell. But that's not communing in it. That's saying thank you. But that's as if we're receiving salvation or something. But to commune in it is to understand and to fellowship in it in such a manner that it's part of who we are. There's no fellowship unless two people are on the same wavelength. There's no fellowship. There's no communion like that. So the cup of blessing which we bless. Anybody see something there? He's blessing the cup, not the blood. Look at it. The cup we bless. We're blessing the vessel that pours out. We are in communion and we are in fellowship. And it's exactly what we shared earlier when we all gathered around. We are of His kind. We are His, but this is going beyond we are His mother and His brothers and sisters. We are His body, and we commune with that Spirit that, yes, poured out at the cross, but it's yet bread and poured out blood, wine, giving, self-giving, pouring out for others. And we bless the vessels that pour out because they're one with Him in His Spirit and His nature. I mean, how many of you have ever seen that before, that it's emphasizing blessing the cup? See? Because we, you know, and how many have ever read that before, though? Okay. You know. And so this is taking us, this is keeping us in the New Testament. This is keeping us in the New Covenant. We are eating New Testament bread, not bread to get in the New Testament. We're not eating the crucified body of the Savior. We're eating the body of the living Jesus because that's who we are. And we're taking in of the one that is meant to live in us. Live Christ in us. The hope. God's hope. We always go, oh, that's my hope. That's God's hope. God's going, I hope you'll let Christ live in you. Here, Jesus, eat this. Put this in you. It'll help. It will help. No, it'll do more than help. It'll be the answer. Christ in you is the answer. Okay, so then he says, the bread which we break. He didn't say the bread which we eat. He says the bread which we break. We are breaking, we're that bread. We are that bread. We are being broken because of His nature within us. We are being given just like He was. Why? Because we're His body and we have His life within us. And we're New Testament bread. We're New Testament bread. Okay, so notice that it says we break. It is the bread which we break. Because, let me put it to you on this basis. Jesus of Nazareth, if He never was broken bread, if He never was broken, though He did all of those miracles, we would still be going to hell. Because He never was broken. He never went to the cross. Does that help? If Jesus never went to the cross, it really wouldn't have done us any good eternally. Eternally. And there are people who got healed by Jesus that might have got sick again. Lazarus, raise him from the dead. He's going to die again. You know what I mean? How many more years did you get out of that, buddy? You know? It's great, it's wonderful, but it is not as wonderful as Christ crucified. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we We don't just bless that. We break it. We make sure that that's broken in us. In other words, we are not, I'm going to say it like this, especially for those that have been here for a little bit. We are not in Babylon visualizing Jerusalem before it became torn down and broken and burnt stones, and looking at the beautiful walls of Jerusalem in our mind and going, oh, that's who I worship. I worship the beautiful city of Jerusalem. What did we say about Daniel? Daniel, every day, got on his knees and prayed toward Jerusalem. Well, what Jerusalem was there? The burnt, torn down, selfless. And in case you didn't follow this, the Jerusalem was inhabited by people who were not going after the Lord like they should have. And they were just taking advantage of the Lord and whatever. And the Lord eventually said, you know, I'm going to show you what you really are. And he sent them into captivity. But he sent them into captivity. But Jerusalem died. Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem was rejected. Jerusalem suffered all of the death. And was no more. And was no more city. And was a habitation for all this stuff. These wild beasts that began to come. Jerusalem represents Jesus in his death. Jerusalem died. And they just went into captivity. But don't worry. His death brought us out of Egypt or Babylon. His death. But it brings us back to what? Christ crucified now. Hallelujah. Christ crucified. Not just Christ saving us. You know, wasn't that what the Jews were looking forward to? The Messiah. Oh, Lord, send the Messiah. And what are they praying for? I want a conqueror. I want somebody who will destroy my enemies. Jesus let his enemies conquer him. He laid down his life. He gave himself. And God looked at that burnt Jerusalem. God looked at that crucified son and said, I love that death. I love that lamb. And I'm not just going to raise Jesus. I'm going to exalt a lamb. A slaughtered lamb, though. See, I told our people, we come to Ireland, and when you drive through Ireland, you always see all these little sheep and lambs and everything running, and it's so pretty, and everybody gets out and goes, oh, look, it's the lamb. It's so pretty. It's so cute. Look at those cute little lambs, you know. And finally I said, look, God could care less about a lamb unless it's slain. In Israel, they had them all over their fields too, and God didn't go, oh, they're so cute. He said, put them on an altar. And then it will be a sweet savor to me. Then I'll accept them. That's Christ crucified. Hallelujah. But not just for sin. Christ crucified in nature. The one sitting on the throne is still a lamb. And he's still on the throne. And he still looks slaughtered. Because he's self-giving. He's self-giving. Eat this bread. Let's eat this bread. Let's love this burnt city, Jerusalem. Let's go and pick up the burnt stones and look at them and say how precious this is to the Lord that he did this. And he's brought us back to love him back into place where he can have a habitation, where he can live again here. And we love him. And it says that. It doesn't say they went and got new stones. They didn't go get brand new stones and go, oh, he deserves the best. He doesn't want the best. The Father wants his Son. He wants his crucified, selfless, incredibly pure in motive Jesus. That's what he wants. Lamb of God. And so we pick up those stones and we understand them. We can commune with burnt stones. We can commune with it. I understand you, Jesus. I see what you did for us. We could have died, but we didn't. But it's more than that. And then we hear the voice of the Spirit saying, you brought us back to bring these stones together. Well, aren't we those stones? And to bring these stones together and make a habitation for him now, and to be a bride for him, so that we give him rest. But it's in that spirit. It's not just, you know. And as we set one on the other, I was sharing with some of them, and I said, you know, if there's three stones, you put three together, that's more than he had for 70 years in captivity. He's just going, this is the beginning. And there's someone who understood three stones. His heart is thrilled. He's going, they're not cursing the stones. They're saying this is what he'll be built from. This is where he will live. This is where his true rest will be. So, still in 1 Corinthians, he says, the bread we break, again, the bread we break, you got to break it. And we're going to see this over and over. The bread has to be broken or nothing is going to happen. You're not going to know him. You're saying, I know that you're saying, but how are you going to prove that? Stick with me. You're not going to know him, and you're not going to see real multiplication unless the bread is broken. You're not going to see it. All right, still right here. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is the communion of being the body of Christ. This broken bread is the communion. This is what makes us all one. This is what makes us who we are. This is Jesus in his self-giving nature, not on a cross just one time, but he's always been that way. And he wants us to always eat that and always say, I'm your body. Why? Because I'm breaking the bread. I'm not just patting it and saying, oh, such sweet bread. Put it on a shelf and worship the bread. Break it. Say, I believe in the cross. I believe in the nature of the Lamb. I eat it. I want it. I live for this. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And the hearty... For we being many are one bread. He's saying it's just one loaf and we're all breaking off that piece and putting him in his self-giving way. It's all being put inside of his body. And it's done as oft as you eat it. You are showing forth his death, not his life, because it's his death, it's his nature. This is what we're showing forth. And I'm jumping ahead, obviously, here. But for we, and he said, for, so he's still in line with this, for we being many are really just one bread. That was one loaf. We're all after his kind. We're all of, but it all had to be broken or we're not after his kind. It's just Jesus died on a cross and praise God. And it's just about the benefits or the blessings instead of about the nature. So it had to be broken. And to be one with him and to commune. And here's the thing. To commune with him, it has to be broken and eaten. Or we're just saying stuff. We're just claiming things that are not true. And that can't be the case. For we being many are one bread, but we're not one. We say, well, we're all one. Well, we're one bread to be broken like him. In other words, by the nature of Christ, we will be poured out for others. By the nature of Christ, we as His body will be broken to feed the multitudes. I'm jumping ahead and I'm cheating here. And one body, for we are all partakers of that one broken bread. For we are all partakers, see? Do you see that? This is New Testament. This is not just an event that got us in. This is what we do. Behold Israel after the flesh. For are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altars? He's pointing back and he's saying this is what it was always about. All those sacrifices. And when they ate of the sacrifice, I got news for you, buddy. That sacrifice came off an altar and you're partaking of the altar too. The altar is the cross. And the bread or the sacrifice that we're eating is Christ. It's Him. And it's Him who lives in us. And it's Him who gives. And what does it say in Philippians, other than, of course, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not a thing to be grasped after to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a man, getting lower and lower. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. Did you catch that? He was highly exalted because He kept going lower. It says that. And it doesn't say He was highly exalted because He saved us. Salvation is not even mentioned in those scriptures. Nature is. New Testament bread, if you will. New Testament bread. See, this is the blood of the New Testament. Drink it. Hallelujah. All right. So he just uses an example from Israel and he says, you know, don't you see this? You know, those people that were eating of this partook of the altar. We are eating of it. We're partaking of the cross, the altar, the true altar, the real altar, Christ crucified. The real altar. All right. So I'm going to just read through some of my notes because I think I've said it, but I don't want to leave anything out. So I'm just going to read it real quick. It is the cup or vessel that we bless. We are communing in the poured out life that is given by the vessel. First by Jesus, the vessel. Jesus, the vessel. And then by us. Pouring out. We are not merely rejoicing over the fact that the blood saved us from our lives before the New Testament reality, which, frankly, most Christians are only taking of communion, rejoicing of what Jesus did before the New Testament to bring us in. But as we will see as we keep going here, that subject's never brought up. I mean, it's not what Paul is declaring here in the New Testament. It has much more to do with what we're becoming by partaking of Him and becoming His body. Okay, so the bread which we break is a point of common union, of communion. The bread which we break, is it not? The communion. Aren't we communing when we understand breaking the bread? Yes, we are communing. This is communion. We say, no, the bread is communion. No, when we understand the bread and the breaking of the bread and we put that in us and we become that and then we show. See, it doesn't say the bread is showing forth His death. It says we are. We show forth His death by selfless giving, by loss that others may gain, by blessing when cursed. We're pouring out that we're communing with that blood that's poured out. We're communing with that body that was broken for us, but we're doing more than just saying, thank you that you died so I don't go to hell. You know, and I just want to do this every time we have communion. Thank you. I'm not going to hell. Well, I'm glad I'm not going to hell, but the greater joy is to be a partaker of that bread and of that wine and to take it in understanding. And it's not even a head understanding. It's a heart understanding. And again, the difference would be if that bread was not broken, it would be like the Jews in captivity would come back to Jerusalem and it was all still built and not burnt. And they went, yay, yay, I love this. And it would be like Jesus of Nazareth. But instead, they come back and they weep over it. And they see that this is what, and you can read this in the prophets. Man, I went through it. What course was it? I really spelled that out. Was it? It wasn't Romans, was it? Okay. So I really spell this out when I show the scripture so that you can see it, where they come back and they comprehend we should have died. We were horrible. We were sinful. We were nothing like he wanted. We should have died. But Jerusalem, and he treats it like Christ, like his own son. Wow. And so they come back in that spirit. And they start putting it together. This is the remember the glory of the latter temple? This was it. It wasn't Herod's temple. This was the glory of the latter temple. But it wasn't that the temple would be more glorious. It says the glory of the latter temple, not that the temple would be better. That's what it says. When they had communion, there was one loaf, but put into many. It was broken from the loaf. We eat of the sacrificial hymn. The sacrificial loaf, the one who gave himself, and we partake of that. We are made partakers of the altar. Glory. I mean, it says that. of the altar. Praise God. Someone says, well, Randy, where do you get that from? Well, I mean, Jesus did say, take up your cross and follow me. You know. Yeah, but okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, I didn't look at all what time I started, so y'all are going to need to help me. And you're not going to do it, are you? Y'all are laughing. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, let's look at verse 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. 23, yeah. 23. And 20. That's good. All right. For I have received of the Lord. Paul, what are you talking about? You never met the Lord. Not like that. I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and the very same, I mean, imagine if this was you, and you know someone's about to betray you. You're Judas. And you say, this is my body. He's not saying, Judas killed me. You see this? Judas did that. He's not blaming. I'm giving myself. I lay down my life. I am a sacrifice. I am with the Father in this. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Ooh, glory, it's going to get good. I wonder what's going to happen to that bread. And when he had given thanks, oh my goodness, when he had given thanks, he broke it. Thank you, Lord. And said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Okay. Again, he's talking New Testament. He's talking, this is what I want you to do, because very quickly we're going to be in the New Testament when I die on the cross. But then you're going to gather after that, and I don't want you just to focus on I died for your sins. I want you to put this bread in you. See? He didn't say, take the bread, break it, and get some lamb's blood and wipe it over there and say, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. He said, eat it. New Testament blood. New Testament bread, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay, what's he talking about? Because he's still alive. You know, you don't have to remember somebody if they're still alive. You know. You don't, when I'm gone, you don't sit here, the Irish, and go, gosh, do you remember Randy? You know, that guy? You go, you know I'm still alive. It's if I died, you'd go, oh, remember Randy? Thank God he's dead. No. Well, Jesus is still alive at this point and always has been. What are they remembering? They're remembering the selflessness that he gave himself on the very night he got betrayed by Judas. He's saying, he's not taking my life. I give myself. And I don't just give it for their sins. I give it for the life of the world. Sorry, we can't look in John 6 yet. We can't go there yet. Do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, this what kind of bread? Broken bread. And drink this cup, what kind of cup? Poured out and poured in. Poured out, but Jesus poured out his life. Now pour it in. Now pour it out. See, hallelujah. Thank God. For as after often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Okay, so he's saying, right now you are my vessels. The cup that we bless, that's us. The vessels that we bless that pour out, that's us. And we are showing forth not just his life. His life is death. I know. His life is a selfless lamb. That's who he is. Who are they worshiping on the throne? We go, I want to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven. And I want to worship Jesus. And we're going, oh, praise God. What's that dead lamb looking like up there? You know, what's this slaughtered lamb? I want to see the victorious Jesus. That is the victorious Jesus. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That the old man would be crucified through death. That sin would be taken away through death. That every major thing, that the world, I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. Death, 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 death. Victorious Lamb. We look at our lives and we say, I've got all these problems. Lord, go get them. Go get that boss that's giving me a hard time, the manager of this place where I work. Go get him and fire him so that he suffers the way he's treated me. Jesus died for his enemies. We usually don't say, Lord, I'm willing to go into death for him or her because they need you and I want them to have you. And so I take the stripes. I take the abuse. It's not easy, but it's easier when it's Christ in you. Show forth the Lord's death. Has Jesus come yet? Has Jesus come yet? Yes, but no. So if he hasn't come yet, then what's your mission? Show forth of this death. No. No. Now you're getting closer to John 6:66. Now you're getting closer. You're going to find out. Now you're going to see what turned a vast group of people that were for him, because they didn't get that far in their understanding of him. And they went away with their own ideas up to that point. They went so far, but then when they got to a certain point, they couldn't handle it. It's easier just to turn on Jesus and say, well, this part is somebody is, you know, just a cult or something saying this, instead of following through with him through every phase of it. It's easy to stay with him when he's blessing you with physical bread to feed your body, which I probably won't get to John 6. But one of the things Jesus said when the multitudes followed him after he fed the 5,000 was, they're not even following me for their miracles. They just want to be filled and feel full, fulfilled, feel full, fulfilled. I just want to feel fulfilled in my being. Heal me, bless me, make everything wonderful. Oh, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. And then Jesus said, well, you're going to have to eat my flesh. And my flesh, the only way, you know, I'm talking about my dead body. My crucified body, you understand. He didn't say, here, take a bite. You understand? He didn't say, no, you're going to have to eat my flesh. Let's start now. He wasn't talking about his living flesh. He meant his self-giving flesh. He was saying, eat the lamb. Eat the lamb. All right. So now let's look at verse 25 again through 34. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11, 25 through 34. So Francine, it's 2:25. All right, here we go. First, 1 Corinthians 11 again, still. See, I had a feeling. 25. Yeah, through 34. All right, here we go. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. This cup is the New Testament. Stop going back to the point where the crossover happened, where you got saved. Everybody goes, oh, thank you, I'm drinking this because you're saved. They're always doing that. He's saying, this is the New Testament. Join me. Join with me in the New Testament. In my blood, this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of what? Shall be guilty of the body and the blood, but they're guilty of the body. Remember how this started? Jesus is sitting there and he breaks the bread and he says, this is my body. Put it in you. Broken body. Broken body. Put it in you. And so he's saying, there is a manner in which you can eat communion, partake of communion, and you are doing it unworthily because you're still relating on another basis instead of where he's at. We need to be with the Lord where he is at, not try to get him to be with us where we're at. Okay, so there's more. Let's make sure we see it. Of the body and blood of the Lord, let a man examine himself. Okay, so here's what we do. Everyone, listen. Here's what we do at communion. Here's what we do. Okay, so we're holding the cup and we got the bread. Okay. And someone reads, let a man examine himself. He goes, oh, I got to repent real quick. I have to repent. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And I ask this blood to cover my sin. And I ask this bread to do whatever it does. Well, I'm sorry, but that is not what this is talking about. This is talking about New Testament, and it's talking about unworthily treating his body instead of being taking it as broken bread so that you are his body and that you give yourself because of Christ in you now, because you put him in you. You're just doing it for your sins. You're still trying to get free from your sins. You're still sin conscious. Everything is about you. This is about me. Thank God I repented just in time. Now, if it was primarily, truly, according to all these scriptures about sin, then I would repent for making fun. But I'm not making fun. This is what it's talking about. And to do it any other way, we're doing it unworthy. We think unworthy means that we're doing it while we have sin in our life. Is it possible to have sin in your life and not really know it? Really? Well, if that's true, and it's only about having sin in your life and getting rid of it before you have communion, then you're going to hell anyway. Still glad I'm preaching tonight. But if it's not, if it's really about what it's talking about, because this is what it's talking about, then so let's finish the scriptures, because the scriptures will hit it again, okay? You are unworthily shall be guilty. Guilty of the body. It didn't say guilty of sin. You are guilty of the body because you do not discern. You are still treating it like it's the big, beautiful Jerusalem before God had it torn down. You're still treating Jesus like he's Jesus of Nazareth instead of the Lamb of God. There's more. And the blood of the Lord, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, what? In light of the New Testament body, right? The examination is in light of what is the New Testament body. And so let him eat of the bread, that bread, and drink of that cup. That, do it according to what he set it up for. Okay? That bread represents the body and him, us putting him inside of us so that we would be broken. All right? And that cup poured out. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That sounds bad. Okay, but the important part is this, the next word. Not discerning the Lord's body. Okay. When most of us take communion, we are trying to discern where we're at. We are trying to examine where we're at. We're not examining the Lord's body. We're not discerning the Lord. We're not even looking. It has nothing to do with the Lord's body when most people take communion. It has everything to do with me and my sin. So we're going, oh, okay. You know, and it's always, you know, oh God, I got to get right. And okay, this is really holy, as if, you know, as if by our works or something, or by, you know, I was, I was not in a real serious thing until they said, we're going to have communion now. You know. Well, communion has to do with every day. It has to do with how you live. It has to do with what you're eating. It has to do with showing forth his death. It has to do with discerning his body. It has to do with that realm. And so that's why it says, not discerning the Lord's body. And again, I'm just trying to bring you to, in your mind, a communion service and think, does anybody mention we need to discern the Lord's body in this bread? What he meant, what did he have in mind? And he called it New Testament bread and New Testament wine, and that relates to us, and we're part of that now. And so he does give examples. He does give examples of what's wrong. All right. So let's keep going here. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves.
That's right.
Not our sin, but judge ourselves on the basis of being his New Testament crucified body.
Yes. Amen.
You're not examining yourself on that basis. You're just an individual, which he's going to rebuke before we finish these verses out.
Yep.
He's going to rebuke you,
right,
because you are looking at everything only on an individual basis, and it has to do with you being right before God, but not what the scriptures are talking about. All right? So he says, for if we would just judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait on one another, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. So what is he saying? Well, we didn't read the very front part of this. We missed it, but it explains this, and that is that people were coming together, and the rich would have a big meal, and the poor would have a little bit of bread, and it was about them and what they were eating, and look what I got. And the other one was that, you know, they would come and eat and drink up there instead of at home. They were making it was a mockery of the body of Christ that would say, I have plenty of extra here. You take this. They would pour out what they have. They would give. They would be broken bread in their spirit, and they would manifest it in the meetings. And they weren't doing that. And they were nothing like. And they were a mockery of the body of Christ, of being the body of Christ. Though those things may have been sin, it wasn't about sin. It was about not being the body of Christ, not being the bread, not being New Testament wine. That's what it was about. And that's the whole thing. And, you know, we went through it kind of quick. And again, what time do we start?
You've gone like an hour, a little over an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're not going to have time to go through all of this, but at least tonight. But I challenge you, because let me just say it like this. Let's just be some people here hanging out, talking. What if everything I said about communion thus far, and we've only just scratched the surface, what if everything I've said actually really is the issue?
Yeah.
It's really what it's saying. Then don't we owe it to the Lord,
yes,
to check it out?
Absolutely.
So I'm telling you, don't believe what I say. Don't believe what I've said. Don't believe what I say. Mm-hmm. I'm nobody. You shouldn't listen to me anyway. But you should listen to the scriptures if,
amen,
this is what it's saying.
That's right.
You should find the heart of the Lord in this if this is what it's about. You should picture Jesus sitting there with the first fruits, the first 12, and breaking the bread and saying, this is about what I want you guys to live from now on, instead of just try to stay out of sin and be sure and pray before communion. Really? 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 I mean, it sounds kind of stupid when you put it like that, but if and notice that Paul never mentioned sin. Even when he brought this up, he was bringing that up in relationship to you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not discerning the Lord's body. Yeah. Your actions prove that you're eating that bread, you're drinking that wine, but you're nothing like that. And he said, you're drinking and eating condemnation on yourself. You're doing it because you're missing the Lord. And then you wonder why life is so hard and everything. Because you're out of whack with the very nature of the one you claim lives in you. You know? Well, the point isn't to be condemned over this. My point isn't to condemn or to make someone feel bad or to, you know, someone could go, oh my God, that's what it really is saying. And I have never had that spirit or comprehended that. Well, it's still not about condemnation. We don't have to go into condemnation over that. All we got to do is say, Lord, open my eyes and my heart. I want to be with you. I love you. I love you. I just want to move towards you. Thank you for, you know, thank you for showing me this. And then get in tune with it. And if it's not true and I just made all this up, then tomorrow, tie me up and put me on the top of a car and drive me into the sea. Is it? Wait a minute, I guess it is. Yeah. Okay, well then just shoot me out of here. Anyway. I just will say to you, you know, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm not even going to say, well, I know I'm right here. I'm going to say that the Spirit of God began to open my eyes to this, and I began to weep and to truly cry, because not because I missed it or, oh, no. It's because I see His heart here, and I wasn't with Him in it. That's what bothered me. But the easy, wonderful thing is that it's just easy to turn your heart.
Yeah.
And when you turn your heart to the Lord, you see His face.
That's right.
And then He changes all that. He doesn't reach in and go, I'll fix you. We have to see His face. And when we do, we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Why do we make it so hard? Yes.
Jesus, I'm not sure if it's in those particular scriptures, but when He was bowing His heart towards the Father, He said, Father, thank you for this bread that's going to be my body.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to the Father, thank you, I'm going to have a body of kind. I'm going to have a body that's bread. And then He broke it. And he received it first, you know, from the Father. And so.
Can you imagine those people in captivity for 70 years and they get a desire in their heart to make a dangerous journey and to come back to a place that is burnt and destroyed. But what's in their heart, the Lord sees it. Jesus, because that was His habitation. That was His home. We call it the temple. He calls it home. They want to come build me a home. Out of the right stuff. They want to be the body. Because they're putting it. They want to be the body of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. And they're going to work toward it. And they're all that come, not all came. In fact, it was a small group that left Babylon. But the ones who came, God didn't go, well, there's only a few of you. It's disappointing. It was so, He hadn't had anyone with Him. He had no one that could see His heart enough to go, we're living in Babylon and everything's for us and making us happy. let's do this. Let's go on this journey together. Can you see him talking?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on this journey together. Let's do it. Let's band together and let's say, we're going. This is the direction we're heading. We're going to make ourselves a habitation. And we're going to have that same spirit. We're going to eat that bread. We're going to put it in us. And we're going to allow him to give himself. Just like when he had his own body, he could reach down his hand and bless, or he could put it on nails and put it on wood and let him drive nails into it. He could do whatever he wanted to whomever he wanted to. And he looks and he goes, this is a body that will let me do that. They will let me do this. They will let me be me in them and give myself to whatever degree and not go, no, that's too far. And then leave. 666. John 666. Where you got too far. No, you've pushed it too far. We don't want to live that way. We don't want to eat your flesh. We don't want that in us. We want bread, yes, but not broken bread that causes us to be that way. Just bread that will fill us and fulfill us. Jumping ahead, but Jesus turns to Peter. He says, will you leave me also? Will you leave me too? And this is right after Jesus had shared about eating his flesh and not having any life in you, not this kind of life in you unless you do this. And he said, will you go away also? And Peter's words to me are even higher, better than I could have imagined. He talked about the words of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he said, you have the words of eternal life. That's the words of eternal life. That's the good stuff. We're with you. We're with you. Yep. They ran away and hid at the inn because their life was not yet in them. It's okay. And many had the life in them, but Paul prayed that he would be formed in them. They have an unformed Christ. Galatians 4:19. They have Christ. He's unformed in them as the Lamb of God, as the selfless one, as the broken bread. So he prays. He goes into travail like a woman giving birth that Christ may be able to come out of them too anytime he wants to, any way that he wants to. Father, we thank you for your preciousness, the preciousness of your Son. We thank you that even though we are unworthy of all of this, and truly we are, we do not focus on our unworthiness, but on Jesus' worthiness. We separate from ourselves as builders of something, and we become burnt stones. And we come together. And we join one to another because we realize that there's nothing worthy in any of us except that we become a habitation for you, that we make you a home, that you find a resting place in us, that you find welcome and love and care instead of give us love and care and welcome all the time and making it about us. We thank you that your Spirit is still moving and will continue to move in these days that we're together. Because you sent your Spirit not just to bless us or heal us or give us gifts. Jesus never even mentioned those things. He said he will come and he will testify of me. He will glorify me. He will take what's mine and show it unto you. Oh, we need to see that which is yours and be joined to it. so that we also become that which is yours, that which is joined, that which is letting this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, that which is not seeking the higher seat, but willing to take a lower seat, gladly, to bless others, that which will not react as soon as we get slapped on the face. And we get slapped on the face many times without human hands, but in the way that we're talked to or the way we're treated. And our first reaction is turn the other cheek, to bless, to not retaliate, because our life is broken bread, poured out wine. It is lamb flesh that we eat. It is eternal life. We're putting eternal life in us instead of human, fleshly, reactionary life that continues to prevail in us so many times. But lamb flesh, lamb life, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. This is the Son within us. This is the living, glorified Lamb, glorifying you over and over, Father, in His selflessness, in His death, and in His weaknesses. Lord, if there's anything that I have shared that is true, I ask you to communicate that. Not that I'm true, but communicate what is true of your heart to those that are hearers. And if any and all things that I've said that do not line up with your heart first and your word, I pray you'll just wipe it from their memories. They will never have to wrestle with it or wonder about it. It'll just be gone so that, Lord, they are protected from me and from my ignorances and my lack. Bless each one, Father. Bless them. Bless them with your Son. Bless them with the Holy Spirit that will overshadow them like Mary was overshadowed. Overshadow them so that Christ can be formed more and more in them. So that life will come out of us and it'll be His life, not ours. Not our Christian life. Not our Christian thoughts. But His mind in us. His life in us. His way, Him as the way, His truth, Him as the truth, Him as the life. That we would not be looking for resurrection, but we look to Him as our resurrection, and let that be sufficient for us. Christ is enough. Regardless of a day of resurrection, that Christ is what we seek first and foremost. So thank you. Thank you. And for those that are able to receive it, Father, may they rejoice in the simplicity of communion, taking that bread, breaking it, smiling within their being and saying, Jesus, I'm with you. I want this to be the way I am. I want to be your body. In this way, not in word only, but in spirit and attitude and deed. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We ask in Jesus' name.